You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome into the Bruins Beat presented by Prize Picks. Use promo code CLNS to get up to $100 back on any deposit up to $100. Make March Madness more fun. Make the NHL season more fun. Go use our friends over at Prize Picks. I'm Evan Marinofsky. That is Scott McLaughlin. Scott, what is up?
Not much, Evan. Well, actually, a lot if you're a college fan, because we got Hockey mm-hmm. East this weekend. But I'm doing well. How about you?
Good. We were talking off camera before we started. Big weekend, you know. We got UMass and BC. Got BU and Maine. By the time this is out, the results might be done, and we know the championship game for Saturday. So it's an exciting time. I'm hoping for a good old UMass BU championship game. I think that'd be great. I think there might be fights in the Bruins press box if that's the case, but I think that it would still make for the best on ice product. No bias there. So I'm excited for that. Do you have any outlook? Do you have any predictions for this weekend?
I mean, I feel like the BU-BC big showdown is what a lot of people are anticipating. We'll see if that actually happens, but it's felt like those teams are on a collision course for, you know, at least one, maybe two more big games. Like, they could face, you know, Frozen Four, national championship. Obviously they had
that would be awesome, by the way, a Frozen Four or a national championship matchup between those two.
It would have to be national championship, because I think they're pretty much locked in as the one and two seeds for NCAAs. So
that's right.
But yeah, I mean, they had the big weekend series back in February that BC swept. Then BU got revenge in the first round of the Beanpot. And then, of course, Northeastern ruined the Beanpot for everyone. And just, you know, comes out of nowhere to win it again. But BU got their revenge on Northeastern and the Hockey's quarters, and we'll see. I do think BU and BC are going to meet at least one more time, probably this weekend, but we'll see. You know, Maine and UMass are good teams too.
Yeah, I you know, I'm hoping for UMass for unbiased reasons, but I agree. A BC BU showdown to win Hockey East would be pretty damn cool. Every time we have you on this show, I always have to specify to the producer who you are, because remember that one time you came on and they had a totally different person in the graphic?
Yeah.
I was like, who is this?
Yeah, they had our Celtics guy, Justin Turpin, who's doing an awesome job. I feel like he's having a breakout season over on the Celtics beat. So, you know, perfectly cool being compared to him, but definitely wasn't me though.
Yeah, it foreshadowed how big of a breakout year it was for him, because it had him on there instead of you, which I remember seeing that graphic and being like, who is this? Like, this isn't Scott. I thought it'd be like the race car driver, at least, you know, like he acts, because there's a race car driver named Scott McLaughlin, right? So I thought maybe it'd be him. But at any rate, Thursday night, obviously there's a lot of attention on colleges, college hockey, college hoops, but the NHL rolls on. And on Thursday night, the Bruins fell to the Rangers 5-2 on Garden Ice, swept by the Rangers this year in the season series. And I think the biggest thing coming from that game, and, you know, two of those goals, it's hard to blame Swayman on. You know, one went off to Bruskin in. There was a turnover that led to to one of the other goals. He was screened on Panarin's first. But then you had like the Adam Fox shot that, you know, snipes over his glove. And, you know, a common theme lately has been Swayman's kind of been trending down and Ullmark's been trending up. Where are you at with that? I mean, you know, I know it's fun to play this hypothetical. Like if the playoffs started today, you'd probably start Linus Ullmark. But is this good or bad for the Bruins?
Well, it's not good in the sense that you'd prefer to just have them both playing great and both rolling. And then you just have to decide, you know, do you rotate? Is it some other split of workload? Do you try to ride one? But that's the best problem to have is, hey, they're both playing great. And, you know, you're at least thinking you can't really go wrong with either. So having Swayman, you know, hit this hiccup, this little slide, really kind of since the All-Star break. I know he had two big wins over Toronto, two really good performances against Toronto in there. But other than that, like, he was struggling a little before that. He's had three kind of subpar games since then, you know, giving up 12 goals his last three games. So you don't want that. Like, you know, you don't want either of them struggling, because then it does kind of force you to probably just ride the other if that's the case, and doesn't leave you as much wiggle room. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this. You know, does Ullmark get two in a row at some point? You know, do you start to shift towards him just a little bit, or do they just keep the rotation going? Because they have seemed more open to using it in the playoffs all year. I think the one thing they're probably not going to do is, I don't think they're going to, last year they rotated right to the end of the regular season and then tried to ride Ullmark. And they really hadn't ridden him all season other than like a little stretch early in the year. I think he got like five starts in a row in November of last year or something. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they feel like that was a mistake. Like, if they're going to try to ride one guy, you got to get him ready before then. If you're going to rotate to the end, then you're going to use both guys. Again, might not necessarily be a strict rotation, but maybe it's two starts for one guy, switch to the other, or three in a row or whatever. But yeah, it's certainly thrown a wrench into it, because all year it looked like this was Swayman's year. He was going to be the game one starter. He was the all-star this season. And now it does feel like it's swung a little bit where, you know, right now as we record on March 22nd, you would have to say Ullmark's been the hotter hand recently.
Yeah, and I think you'd stick with that if the playoffs began today. And I think you nailed it with, you know, it doesn't need to be a strict, you know, A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B throughout the playoffs. I think it, you know, even look at last year with that Florida series, if you turn to Swayman in game five there, I think it's a different series. And I think if you even wanted to go, you know, Ullmark for games one and two this year, and he's, you know, really good in game one and he's okay in game two, well, then you switch things when the series shifts to wherever it ends up shifting to, which we'll get to in a little bit, in games three and four. And I think that that's okay. I don't think it has to be an even split. And I think if a guy has two shutouts in games one and two, well, then you put him over there for game three. I don't think you have to stick to it exactly. But again, you even look at the next couple games for the Bruins in Philly, in Florida, at Tampa, at Washington, at Nashville, at Carolina, back home against Florida, back home against Carolina. That's a tough stretch to end the season. And I think one of the big things is, you know, how do you revitalize Jeremy Swayman throughout that stretch? You know, you mentioned it. Do you go back and forth? Do you give Ullmark a couple games in a row to kind of let Jeremy Swayman reset? I think that's one of the tougher calls, is that this is not an easy stretch of games to have Jeremy Swayman get hot during, unless you can find a way to not get under his skin. But if you kind of start to lean towards Ullmark, does that potentially motivate a guy like Swayman?
Yeah. And I think one thing I would do in the immediate short term is, you know, you could go back to Ullmark Saturday, right? It'd be his turn in the rotation anyways. I would want to give Ullmark Florida on Tuesday, which would technically, that would make it two starts in a row. But knowing that Swayman's going to get Tampa the very next night on Wednesday. But the reason I would do that is, Swayman has had most of the bigger games recently. Rangers, both Toronto games. I want to get Ullmark into one of those big games. Like, he's played really well recently, but let's just be real. Like, Ottawa, Montreal, Pittsburgh, not the toughest competition, not the highest of stakes. So get him down in Sunrise at Florida, big measuring stick game against the Panthers, and, you know, give him that opportunity. Swayman's had that opportunity these last few weeks. Like, I would like to see Ullmark get that kind of game.
I kind of wanted to see Ullmark Thursday night against the Rangers. I wanted to see what he could have done in that spot. Big game, big team, two starts in a row. I thought that might be the opportunity to kind of reset Swayman or something like that. And that didn't really happen. And you know, instead, as I mentioned, Swayman didn't really have the best game. Although, again, there were some breakdowns in front of him, I think, that should be noted. Before we continue this conversation, a quick word from our friends over at Prize. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in place even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays live. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Want to pick the number of goals David Pastrnak will have in a game? Or the number of shots on goal Brad Marchand might have in a game? Then Prize Picks is for you. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit matchup to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. So it wasn't all bad on Thursday night. It wasn't all terrible. You know, the sky's not fully falling. Bruins are still somehow the best team in the NHL points-wise. I can't wrap my head around it, but they still are. One good thing from Thursday night, Justin Brazeau continues to roll, scores a goal, continues to prove he should be an everyday NHL player. And for a long time, we've considered him for the fourth line. That's where he's been. You know, when he came up, I think we all thought, all right, he'll be a good solid fourth liner, big body, this and that. And Connor and I were talking about this on Poke the Bear the other day, and I think Thursday night kind of reinforced it. Probably deserves looks for the third line too. I love the idea of a Frederick Geeky Brazeau line, at least to try, and you have kind of an interesting stretch of games coming up where you could do that. And you know, potentially Maroon coming back in these next couple weeks. You traded for him. I would assume he's going to get kind of first dibs on a fourth line spot. What do you think about Brazeau potentially being a third line guy?
So I think they did it for one game, and I'm trying to remember exactly which one it was, but it one of the games recently, he got a game with Geeky and Frederick, and they were very quiet and spent a lot of time in their own zone, and it didn't go very well. That's not to say it wouldn't go better next time. You know, I mean, they have this stretch here where Vin Riemsdyk's been out dealing with an illness. We'll see if he gets back in Saturday. Sounds like Marchand's probably going to play after a maintenance day Friday, but wasn't 100%. So, you know, there could be some guys in and out. Like, I'm fine trying everything because I think this team has nine top nine forwards. And when you're looking for another option after that, you have to stretch. And that's, I'm saying nine top nine forwards counting James Van Riemsdyk when he gets healthy. Now they have to get him going again too, because even pre-illness, he had gone really quiet offensively. So, you know, I don't mind giving him a look here and there. I don't expect it to stick. As much as I like the way Justin Brazeau has been playing, I do still think there's kind of a ceiling on his game for this season. You know, he can still grow after this over the summer, but for this season, I'd be a little surprised if he ends up sticking in a third line role and playing it effectively. But for a game or two here and there, sure, anything's worth a look because they don't, it's not like they're brimming with a ton of great options as far as top nine forwards go.
I feel like they have a ton of bottom six forwards. That's my thing with this team is like you have so many guys who fit in somewhere in the bottom six that you look like even like a Danton Heinen who's fit in, you know, up on that line with Zaka and Pasternak. It's all great. But I mean, is Danton Heinen the long term solution there on that line? Probably not. Although I did like, I don't know if you heard this the other day, Felger was asking, oh, why don't I like David Pasternak? And, Craig Bedard was like, well, because he doesn't help he doesn't make his teammates better. And I said, well, that's interesting. David Pasternak has 55 assists, his career high. He's a phenomenal passer and he's turning Danton Heinen into a viable top six, winger. I think he's doing just enough when it comes to making his teammates better.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a wild, absolutely wild take. Like,
yeah, I appreciate. I heard the wildness of the take. I appreciate the wildness of the take. At any rate, I think Brazo, the way he wins board battles, I think just his puck play around the net is strong. I have no basis to this other than I think if Frederick Ekie and Brazo could be together for a couple games in a row, I'd be interested at least to see kind of what they can do in the offensive zone, being in there more and kind of, generating scoring chances from behind the net and things like that. So, I'd be interested in it. I agree with you. I don't think Brazo is going to be a top six forward anytime soon, but I think for what he brings, guy who wins a lot of battles, good stick. Like, I think that all that stuff for a big guy is impressive. It's hard to knock him off the puck. I'd be curious because that Frederick Geeky Brazo line could potentially be a physically big line. And I know we like to make fun of the people who always want, the big, tough hockey players things. But I think that in the playoffs, a line like that, if they develop some chemistry, could be interesting. I think Brazo's played his way into that factor. One other thing I want to mention before we get to playoff matchups, our friends over at Factor Meals, Scott. You got to get on this Factor Meals wave. That's what you got to do, Scott. So quick word from our friends over at Factor.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So Scott, we're going to play a fun game of Would You Rather. You ready? Right. So this is like you're back in camp when you're, a young kid growing up and you're around the campfire and it's like, truth or dare, would you rather? So this is a tough one. I'm just saying it's a very tough question. Would you rather the Bruins finish second and play Toronto in the first round or finish as the one seed and get the wild card team?
So I feel like to me, this sounds a little crazy because I think the Leafs are a better team than pretty much all those wild card teams. And yet I think I'd rather finish second and face the Leafs for a couple of reasons. And one is that the Bruins have had the Leafs number this year. And while I don't think regular season series necessarily carry into the playoffs, there's something there. And there's the longer term scar tissue that Toronto has against Boston. Another reason is Toronto's been like the Bruins in that they've been pretty safe in a playoff spot for a while now. Probably aren't playing the most desperate of hockey down the stretch. Whoever gets those wildcard spots is going to be playing desperate hockey. They've had to raise their game for a month or two down the stretch just to make it. And you saw that last year with Florida, the edge that can kind of give a team that's, has already gotten to that level and is playing like every game's an elimination game versus the Bruins who, tried to build energy and tried to approach it as, all right, we're going to treat these next five games as a series. And hey, we are going to go for the record because that's, a carrot to chase. And it still doesn't mimic playoff intensity. Like it's, you can try to fake it as much as you want, but you can't really do it. And Bruins have the same challenge this year. You know, even though they're not running away from everyone, you can say like, oh, they should try to, you know, beat up Florida for the one seed. Like, maybe that's something to play for, but it just doesn't register that way. Like, I don't think anyone actually believes that you're going to play, you know, desperate playoff style hockey to try to be the one seed or to try to get the President's Trophy. Like, it, that just doesn't drive guys that way. So I think I would rather face the team that's in a similar situation that isn't fighting for their lives down the stretch and, you know, take a little pressure off yourself. Like, I don't believe in the President's Trophy curse. I don't think it's a thing despite what happened last year, but I do think like pressure can be real. And I think if you're the one seed again and potentially the President's Trophy winner again, you know, like there are going to be those questions of, hey, you know, last year you guys fell in the first round. Like, what are you doing differently this time? How are you going to avoid that happening again and all that? So I would rather just ignore all that. Give me the two seed. That's fine.
Also, Bruins Toronto would be a phenomenal series. Yeah. Like, and it'd be drastic if the Bruins lost, but it'd be such a good, interesting series. In terms of, you know, our jobs, it would be great. I also think on the ice, Toronto has shown no reason to think it's any different this year than past seasons. I don't think they've, you know, I know they won a playoff round last year. I still don't think they are drastically different. I won't think that way until they have, you know, a legit two-way shutdown number one defenseman, you know, in net, same type of thing. You know, I look at the wild card teams, right? And you nailed it with, you know, these teams have, they're playing playoff hockey the last month and a half of the season. You know, Tampa Bay, potentially, that is not an easy matchup. I know the Bruins have had their number in the regular season, but Tampa certainly had the number in the past in the postseason. You got, you know, if you get a hot Vasilevsky, that's going to be a really difficult first round series. Detroit has their issues, but still, I mean, they would have to continue to get hot. I mean, they were in such a slump. They would have to be scorching hot going into the playoffs. Washington, yeah, and
they've similar. Detroit's thing. Played the Bruins tough too.
Like, yeah,
that's been one of those teams that's just kind of like not doesn't seem to be a great matchup for the Bruins.
No, and Washington again. The Bruins, I know, had that no show back in February against them. I know it's just regular season, but still, and they have been hot of late despite really not great underlying numbers. And then the Islanders are kind of always a scary team when it comes to the playoffs. They're boring. Sorokin in net, Waugh behind the bench. Like, that's a team that could do some damage, especially against the Bruins. I think it goes back to this. Like, last year when we were talking this time of year, it was like, well, it doesn't matter who the Bruins face in the first round. It matters who they play in the conference final and the Stanley Cup. And that roster was so good that there wasn't really a hole. You look at this Bruins roster and the goaltending seems not up in the air, but, you know, guys going in different directions right now. You don't know what your third and fourth lines are yet. You do have some defensive troubles. They look more pedestrian. And that's not to say that they're bad and they're going to be automatically out in the first round, but it means that you'd rather face a team that you know you have a pretty good chance against in that first round rather than one of these hot wild card teams that could easily upset you. So I agree with you. I would rather them finish second, play Toronto in the first round. Yes, you might sacrifice home ice the second round against a team like Florida. I'm okay with that. And again, just in terms of watchability, Bruins Leafs is good. Like, Bruins Leafs is peak, I think. You know, Detroit and Washington are fun. Not really. But like, you know, it's playoff hockey, but I still am not as into it as I would be if it was Toronto.
Yeah, for sure. Like, from that perspective, just the fan of the game, you know, or media member looking for storylines, absolutely Toronto all day long. And I think a lot of Bruins fans actually probably agree with that too. Like, I think, you know, you risk overlooking them a little. And as you mentioned, they did win a playoff series last year. So they at least got that monkey off their back, even though they got steamrolled by Florida the next round. But yeah, I think a lot of Bruins fans would take Toronto too. Like, I do think there's a sense that, you know, they kind of have their number and just the sheer entertainment factor and the fact that like the Bruins and their fans just aren't scared of that team. Nor should they be. Like you said, there's still kind of the same questions there about defense and goaltending. Their depth isn't as good as it was last year. up front. You know, it's, we know the superstars, and yes, any series you play against Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, you know, John Tavares has had some good games against the Bruins, even though he's not the star he once was. Like, yeah, you got to contend with that, and they'll have their games. Like, they'll put up some points, but I think the Bruins are a little deeper team. I would like the way that they can match up with their third and fourth lines. So I would definitely pick the Bruins to win that series. I don't think it'd be a pushover by any means, but that should be a winnable series.
I agree. But again, after last year, I'm not taking any opponent lightly come the postseason. So I mean, even the Maple Leafs, I won't even take the Maple Leafs lightly. Anyway, Scott, thank you so much for joining. What can the people look forward to from you over at EEI?
Well, we got Sunday Skate going every Sunday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. We got Skate podcasts dropping regularly, written coverage, WEI.com. I'm going to be down in Florida next week, so I'll have some coverage from down there. Yeah, it's getting away for a week. The Bruins schedule worked out perfectly because they have like 3 days off leading up to those games and 3 days off after. So I'm going down, staying at my grandfather's and, you know, making a week of it.
Hell yeah. Go off. You deserve it. You work hard. You've done a great job this
Thanks,
year.
Thanks,
so,
Evan.
You deserve the vacation in Florida, even though you're going to be covering the games.
So. Yeah.
That's awesome. But anyways, you can look forward to that. Go listen to the Skate podcast. That's Scott McLaughlin. I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruinsby listeners, have a great rest of your week. Teenage Wayne.